At AngiesList.com/Amber, you can find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you use promo code AMBER, you will save 25% off your subscription. It used to be difficult to find service providers you can trust, but not anymore thanks to AngiesList.com/Amber. So visit AngiesList.com/Amber today and save time and money.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
I'm so glad that you joined me today on the Amber May Show. I'm Amber May, and joining me today is Kim Isaac. I want her to tell her God story, if you will. And God stories are what God has done for us and how he's walked us through life and how we finally had the one-on-one encounter with the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I'm excited for Kim to come on because of her heritage, her background. Her name is Kim Isaac. She is from a Jewish descent, and to walk through Kim's story. So welcome to the program, Kim.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, did you grow up in a Christian home?
No, I would say that we grew up with believing in God, mm-hmm. but without any real understanding or guidance. We had family in our family that was Catholic and Christian, so we'd celebrate holidays with, you know, I felt like we didn't really have a strong foundation on that sort of thing, but we did always believe in God.
What was it like growing up for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I started off growing up in a two-parent home, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of problems I had, particularly with my mom, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of kind of trauma that happened and abuse that I won't get into in full
right.
detail.
Of course.
But it really affected my whole family, and eventually my parents got divorced, and it really changed my family significantly and how they treated me too. I felt like my mom sort of blamed me for getting a divorce, which I'm not sure how that was possible, mm-hmm. but I felt like after that divorce, my family, my dad, my siblings were almost like angry with me or just very distant. And we were all going through horrible emotional stuff mm-hmm. in general. But it seemed like something changed in that sense. And that was really hard for me because I love my family. I'd do anything for any of them. And being so young, I mean, when this happened, I was about 16, 17. I didn't really understand the things I understand now. And so it was just a hard time for me. I felt really lost and unwanted, and like I was sort of shameful, like, what am I doing that's hurting people and making them mad at me? And I just didn't understand mm-hmm. what I understand now.
And during this time, did you have a friend that walked beside you? I mean, how did you cope with all that you were going through at such a young age?
Well, this is the interesting part where my spiritual story comes in, is we had just moved to Arizona before all of the divorce stuff happened. And so I didn't really have a lot of friends, good friends, that I felt I could depend on in such a really intense time. I did have a boyfriend at the time who was pretty supportive. But what happened after the divorce is I was so very depressed, and at night often I would just like cry in my bed. Silently, not hysterically, but just very sad and very alone. And I remember one night, my boyfriend actually had come over and we had dinner, and he was sitting with me in my room, and then I fell asleep and he left. And I remember I felt like this hand sort of like running fingers through my hair or just kind of comforting me that way. So I thought he had come back. And I opened my eyes and there was nobody there. And I felt like, that was interesting. You know, I wasn't really sure what had happened. But from that point on, I was actually craving the comfort. I mean, I always had,
right.
even as a young child, because I didn't get that. But I was actually inspired to go to Catholic church at that point.
Really?
Yes. I was craving sort of a mother figure that I never had. And I was getting these messages or words from God, just, you know, and maybe I misinterpreted at the time, or I don't know, but it really led me to Catholic Church, but only in the mornings before the masses. So I would just sit there and pray. And that's what I was told to do, just be there, just pray. And it kind of gave me a structure to start. I mean, that was the most I'd ever had in terms of really hearing God's voice. Mm-hmm. And so that's how, you know, I started sort of finding great comfort in just going to pray.
Wow. So you heard him speak to you then?
Yes.
What, if you don't mind, if it's not too personal, what kinds of things would he try and tell you?
You are loved. You are comforted. I'm here for you. And without actually saying words of go to Catholic Church, I just felt driven, like something inside of me, like an energy was just like, go sit there, just be still. And it was an environment, and I could see in hindsight now why that was so comforting to me. You know, there were so many, you know, honoring places of Mary, and that gave me sort of a comfort or a symbol to remember that mothers are supposed to be a certain way, and that I have a spiritual love and comfort from God. And so I actually didn't go to Mass. I would just sit there and pray. And I think some of those visuals just really reminded me that I could be a better person as a female, because a lot of times I was really scared that I would end up being a way that I didn't want to be because mm-hmm. of what I grew up with. And it sort of comforted me in that sense as well, that there is guidance for you. There is a way you can follow to alleviate your fears, and that I felt really supported.
When you say, you know, the message that God gives you is the message I'm always trying to give people. I'm trying, you know, on that program, I was trying to tell people the characteristic of God and show them that he is a God that loves. And you and I are always going to fail at some point. And we're going to let people down at some point. That's just the nature of what we are. You know, we're not perfect. And we're going to fail. We're going to let people down. But there is one person that will never fail us, that will never let us down. Even when it feels like he did, and I've talked about it with, you know, losing my babies and stuff. Even when it felt like he let you down, he doesn't let you down, because I was still able to get up, get out of bed, you know, go about my day, even though it was hard. If I didn't have a God there who was giving me messages like he loves me and holding me even when I didn't know, like the footprints poem, I was just like, wow, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have been able to go on with my life. It's difficult. So when you have difficult situations come in your life, had God not met you where you were at, perhaps your depression would have been worse, or who knows where it could have gone. So when you felt those messages that God loves you, that changed your life to want to feel that love when you don't feel it around you, right? I mean, it's a love that's unexpressible, right?
Absolutely. It was something so great and so warm, and that really got me through that time in my life. Mm-hmm. But actually, my story takes a lot of other interesting twists, because while I did feel God's love, I still didn't feel like I knew who God was. But it did inspire me to sort of find out a little bit. But amongst the turmoil, what really got me, what really led me to God, that's kept me to God, is seeing other Christians in action showing love to others. Because for a very long time, I mean, I had heard people speak about Jesus, and it didn't resonate with me. I couldn't relate. To mm-hmm. me, it was just words. Now, I respected the words, but it didn't sort of sell me on the concept or you know, understand. And I felt like I still made a series of bad choices over the next few years, but ultimately, they all led me to a greater spiritual awakening. When I found a church in Maricopa, the first day I walked in, the way that the love was felt, the pastors were living that passion. They weren't just speaking about it. They would worship with us, and they would be 100% in love with God. And what happened is I saw that, And I thought, I want that. I want what they have. And since I feel like I didn't really have a lot of guidance growing up, I realized that I needed to learn from others the best I could, and other people around me weren't demonstrating that kind of life. And when I saw that, I want that. I want to be that. You know, how do I get there? And that's what actually sort of led me back to Christ in a way that hasn't wavered.
Let's just so people will get a real understanding, because maybe there's people out there that don't know about Jesus and never experienced what you've experienced. So I'd like to clarify a little bit about some of the things that you saw at your church versus things other people were doing around you, let's say in the world.
Well, I felt like the things that I had grown up with and saw out in the world didn't seem to have an order. And part of it was, you know, how I grew up. My mom was very unpredictable, very erratic. There was no order emotionally, structurally, anything like that. And I had always sort of sought that order, but I didn't know what order, how to get it. And so that was always a question in my mind, the priorities and what do I do to create proper order in my life? What do my priorities need to be? I never knew. And what happened was when I went to that church and saw the actual actions of not only how they were worshiping and how they were speaking, but the order that they ordered their lives in gave me a structure that was exactly what I wanted. God first, you know, seeking God first, how can I glorify God first? You know, I felt like I was putting me first and what I thought was right. And I think I can relate to people who do that now, because that was me. And sometimes that's still me. I know that I am definitely not perfect, and I'm not, you know, doing everything right. But the message that God keeps giving me is continue to seek me. You're not always going to be right. I know you're going to, you know, fall behind on a couple things here and there, but don't give up on me. Don't forget about me. Anytime there's a spiritual solution and order and guidance to every problem, and if you keep refocusing your eyes on me, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let you down. And so the difference between seeing people in my world outside of church was they didn't seem to have that order of priorities in their actions and how they treated others. And then when I went to this church and saw the priorities and how they were loving others as Christ truly loves, it was inspiring. And I realized that there are people out there that are doing things that are right, and they want to help others and love others. And that's the kind of person I'd always wanted to be.
Well, Kim, would you mind coming back tomorrow to share the rest of your story?
I would love to.
If you'd like to contact me, please email me at amber@ambermayshow.com, or you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. Hop on to my website, theambermayshow.com. Check out my corner store. I have some stuff up there. Or go to my podcast page, and you can download a free app on your Android phone. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, someone else, because eventually number two will look out for you.